This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hollywood Casino Press Box continues. I'm Jim Hewer. We'll go back down to the winter warm-up here in just a little bit. Also, Martin Kilcoyne going to jump in. But time now to talk some pucks with Chris Kerber. We're heading out to Los Angeles, where the Blues have an early afternoon game against the Los Angeles Kings as the club goes out on the road. We say hello to Chris Kerber out in L.A. Kerbs, how are you?
Jimmy, I'm awesome. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. I was looking for some audio, and I could not find it because we know, you and I both, that early afternoon games in Los Angeles sometimes create problems in the broadcast booth.
Well, I thought about you last night, Jimmy, when we got out here. Now, we're not staying at the Biltmore when we stayed at for that epic night that you're referring to. But we got into the hotel. We went over to a sports bar to watch the debacle that was the NFL yesterday. And all I'm thinking about is take it easy. We don't need a repeat.
That is so true. For those who aren't sure what we're speaking of, we had a similar situation. Geez, that's almost a decade ago, for sure. And
I have the audio on my computer, Jimmy, and I haven't. So I'll get it to you if you eventually can't find yours, because you had given me a copy. But we had a night in the Biltmore, and it was a 1 o'clock start on a Saturday afternoon here in L.A. And the entire broadcast media traveling crew, Jimmy included.
Yes.
We had Ken Wilson and Bernie Federko, and I think Dan McLaughlin was on the trip with us. And I think Dan McLaughlin and Kenny Wilson went to go see a concert, but the concert got canceled. So they come back to the hotel, and we've got Tim Papston, and we've got the whole media crew, you know, in the mix here. And they were serving these spectacular margarita martinis with Cuervo Gold tequila. Let's just say that for the TV crew, a 6 a.m. wake-up call was just unfair. And for the broadcast crew, thank goodness Chaser and I weren't doing television. And we couldn't get a read right. At one point in time, we're laughing so hard, Jimmy Hewer's tapping us on the shoulder saying, guys, you got to call the game. And all you could hear on the radio is just sticks and pucks going up the ice. So it was
quite a day.
Yeah, and you remember Chaser's was excellent. So he goes to read a Bud Light ad that we've been reading forever. He can't read it. He goes, here, I can't do this. You do this. I go to read it. I can't read it. We go to a break, and I asked anybody on the air to send us a number for Hooked on Phonics. And then and then the best one might have been, though, it was Chaser says, okay, listen, at one of the upcoming games, we want everybody to bring an unwrapped toy down for our Toys for Tots drive, sponsored by the Marine Corps. And we're like, dude, that's core. At that point, we gave up.
It was one of the all-time fun moments in the broadcast booth for us. There's no doubt about that. Oh, my.
No doubt about it.
Great stories. Hey, Blues on the road in L.A. against the Kings. These are two teams that aren't playing very well at the bottom of the standings, not where they wanted to be. In a mid-afternoon game like this, are you worried about intensity as you come out for a game in the middle of the afternoon?
I'm not worried about intensity because of the time. But look, we've seen this trip over the years. It's just been a very difficult trip all in all for the St. Louis Blues, it feels like. Playing L.A. out here is a challenge. And then Anaheim, I'm dead convinced that Anaheim could bench every one of their NHL players, call up everybody, you know, from the San Diego Gulls in the American Hockey League, and it could still be a tough game for a team going into Anaheim. There's good news for the Blues here, and that is that, yeah, the L.A. Kings, despite being the top wild card team a season ago and getting 98 points, they've gone right to the bottom, and they're 1 point behind basically the last-place team. So the L.A. Kings are the last-place team right now in the National Hockey League. If you're the St. Louis Blues and you're going to continue this run, you have got to make sure that you take advantage of this. You've got two teams that have been struggling. The L.A. Kings lost in Colorado 7-1. They're in a stretch where this is their only home game out of 10. So they were in Minnesota, in Dallas, and then in Colorado. They come home and they play the St. Louis Blues. And then they've got their Eastern Conference road swing, where they're going to go play the Islanders, Rangers, Devils, and then continue on the road against the Flyers, Bruins, and Capitals. So, you know, hopefully that they fall asleep a little bit on this one, but the St. Louis Blues have got to take advantage of this and play the road games that they have been playing. Not so much the one in Boston, but pretty much all the 9 or 10 before that would be a good start.
That leads to the question, road games. Why is the team playing better on the road as opposed to at home? I know it's one of those million-dollar questions, but even Jake Allen has been really strong on the road games. Do you have a sense on why that is?
You know, I don't. I can only guess. And, mm-hmm. and to me, Jimmy, it's I just think that this might be, you know, teams have makeups, right? And
yep.
teams have personalities. And I don't think here, you know, as you're a few games into the second half of the season, you're going to drastically change the personality of this team. Now, you can, with a move or two, change the makeup of the team. But I don't know that you're going to change the personality of this team. And I think the expectations and all the stuff was awfully heavy on this team at the beginning of the year. And when they weren't getting met, not just by a goaltender, but by just about everybody on the team except for Ryan O'Reilly and maybe David Perron, that pressure got to them. And I think players, without a doubt, feel more of that pressure at home, whether they talk about it or not. I do believe that's a real thing. So when they come on the road, it's, hey, we don't have to worry about getting the crowd going. We don't have to worry about the crowd cheering and the crowd booing us. You know, actually, the crowd booing us on the road is a good thing. And I think they just play a simpler game on the road. And it's going to be important because they're continuing this stretch of hockey that began last week of 22 of 30 on the road.
Talking with Chris Kerber, our Chris Kerber segments brought to you by Petromart. Kerbs, Gunnarsson, did the light go on? Is it health? I mean, he's been very good since he's returned.
You know, Carl Gunnarsson has honestly, since the Blues acquired him from Toronto in the Pollock trade, has been a very steady defenseman. You know, you're not looking for anything flashy, and he's just got this calm presence back there. And so, yeah, for him, frankly, right this year, Jimmy, it is healthy. You know, everyone talks about the hip surgery that Jay Bouwmeester had. Carl Gunnarsson had hip surgery as well. And then when he was able to, a couple weeks after having that, when he was able to handle it, he went and he had ACL surgery. You know, so mm-hmm. he had those two surgeries, and I could have them flip-flop, to be honest with you, Jimmy, but I'll have to double-check
right.
that. But he had those two surgeries within the span of a couple of weeks and then still managed to try and get back to hockey by October. And, of course, that was delayed to pretty much the start of November, and then two other injuries crept in. But now, and the thing about Carl is he'll take advantage of the opportunities that are given him. Alex Pietrangelo has seemed to play his best hockey of the season with him. And really what's an intriguing thing to watch here is the Blues' defensive depth, while Jake Walman has been playing better in San Antonio, Mikko Mikkola has made some terrific strides, and he's the one I'm really intrigued about after having watching him in camp this past fall. You know, the Blues have two unrestricted free agents on defense this year, Bouwmeester and Gunnarsson, and it'd be curious to see what the Blues end up doing with one of those guys. I don't think there's any chance you sign both. I think in the end you maybe make an offer. To me, it'd be Gunnarsson. You make an offer, and if he takes it, he takes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And if not, you go find another free agent defenseman. But, you know, it's a very important second half of the season for him, just in terms of his hockey career and potential contract situation, whether it be here with the Blues or with another team in the NHL.
And you spoke of Jay Bouwmeester obviously playing better since sitting down a little bit. I guess health, again, is an issue, been an issue with him with that hip. But 21 minutes of ice time. I'm not saying Jay Bouwmeester is going to return to what he once was when he first got here, but he has improved quite a bit in the last, 2 to 3, I don't know, 4 weeks.
Yeah. You know, the beginning of the season was bad for so many guys and it couldn't have been worse for Bouwmeester. But part of that was recovering from the injury. So, you know, they scratch him for a few games in there and then after saying he was a healthy scratch coming out, they came out and said he's a little nicked up. I thought that was unfair to him. But, mm-hmm. You know, he had gone a stretch where the Blues really under Craig Berube, once that the coaching change was made, you really saw his minutes drop. They were in the 15-minute mark. I mean, there was one he played 11 minutes and, you know, somewhere between 15 to 17 minutes. You know, and then you had the injury with Alex Pietrangelo when he played a little bit more. Well, in the last five games, he's been over 21 minutes in all five of those games and been playing better. So the reason for that has got to be his skating. It's been his moneymakers. It's been the thing that has made him what he is in the National Hockey League. And he's finally coming back from those injuries a little bit. So, and that's a good thing for the St. Louis Blues as they move forward, because defensively, I think they still need to find a way to be even better in front of their own net. And he's one of the guys that has been.
And I can't let you go without asking you in reference to Vladdy Tarasenko scoring goals again. And when he scores, wins come for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, you know, it was a little while back that Ruby said, if we can get 91 scoring, we can go on a run. And, you know, he's got goals now in three of the last five games. That's a positive thing. He's an enigma to me, Jimmy, and I'm just being honest with you on this one. He's got the talent, and sometimes when you see him play like the way he played, and especially in those final minutes of that last game, and it's not an easy way to play, taking the hit to make the play, and he took a big one to clear the puck out in the final seconds of that game. That's the kind of effort that you know that you can see from Vladimir Tarasenko. And it's the kind of effort that, frankly, if he's a leader on this team, he has to show more often. It's not just scoring goals. He may have to extend his shift sometimes. He may have to, fight in the corner a little bit longer. And when you're on the ice with Ryan O'Reilly like he was last game, and Pat Maroon or David Perron, you know that those guys are going to dig it out. And you've got to match their work ethic in terms of winning those puck battles. And I think if he makes, I'd like to see him, because his passing can be so good, I'd like to see him make more calculated, higher percentage passing plays. Too many passes, I think, get caught up in skates and get blocked because he's trying to thread that puck through a needle, which at times he can do. But a lot of times it's getting knocked down. And as it looks like he's turning a corner here, which is a good thing, I think if he plays just a slightly more predictable game for his line mates, he'll find even more success, which would be a terrific thing for him and everybody.
So Blues on the road in Southern California, then you go on the break. I want to ask you one thought about the league overall. Who's been the best player you've seen this year? And I'm not talking about the usual guys we think are the best in the league year in and year out. But for this year, as we approach the break, who's been the most impressive for you as you've seen outside of St. Louis?
That's a good one. You know, Nathan MacKinnon had such a good start then. Even better than just a good start. They've been, and then that calmed down a little bit. You know, I've talked about four or five guys this year, Jimmy.
Yep.
And I'm going to defer to them.
No, that's fine.
Rather than go like, why are the media voting on things? I'm going to go tell you what the players have told me. I've had four or five guys tell me that still Sidney Crosby is hands down the best player in the National Hockey League.
That's awesome to hear.
And you know, I mean, yeah, you've got MacKinnon. You've got the young guys around the National Hockey League. You got Tavares and what he's doing in Toronto, and you've got Connor McDavid. But when they talk about the best player in the league, players are still saying it's Sidney Crosby. Now, the most enjoyable and fun for me, I absolutely love watching Ovechkin play. I mean, I have so much fun watching him play and shoot and just wheel that puck at the net. And now that he won a cup, to see him look like he's enjoying the game even that much more, he's been a real treat to watch, too.
Yeah, and I watched a little bit of that game with the Hawks yesterday, and not a good start for the Caps, but Ovechkin, he gets in there physically and gets involved. He got his team going again.
And that's what he will do. And, yeah, look, he had to learn how to do it, but so many players have to learn it. It's okay for somebody to develop more over their career, but and the Capitals are a real intriguing team here, Jimmy, because when you look at Backstrom and you look at Kuznetsov and you look at Ovechkin, you're talking a couple guys. Ovechkin in his 14th year in the league, and Backstrom, what, in his 12th or 13th? I mean, these guys had to battle through it a long time, and the organization had to stick with them for a long time, and they end up winning that Stanley Cup. But it's such a hard prize to win, and you got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to get there. And some teams are fortunate enough where it happens earlier in the career, but I don't think it made it any less sweet that it took Ray Bourque as long as it did to win a Stanley Cup. And sometimes you stick with the greats and you stick with the good ones, and they can help lead you to that promised land.
Chris, it's always great to visit with you. Go back through some old memories. Have a great call today. Get those reads right and see what happens out in Southern California.
I love talking hockey with you, Jimmy. And Mark Bergevin always says to make sure I say hi to the cable guy.
Absolutely true. That's Chris Kerber out in Los Angeles. Chris Kerber brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving St. Louis and the area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next one, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like the hot-and-ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We take a break. Martin Kilcoyne joins the show after this on 590 The Fan.